Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Shelly and Chuck's on the Shelly and Chuck Show. It's Wednesday night. Oh, yes, it's the middle of the week. Happy, happy, humpy week. Middle of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so super excited. I think right now I need another shower. I have a very special guest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know how this guy is not a superstar by right now. I can't even talk. This is how excited I am. I am literally tongue-tied. And for me to be this tongue-tied, you know this man coming up is just so sexy. And I'm probably going to make him blush, but I don't care. But anyway, I know I have a funny accent from Boston, and I think I'm going to slaughter this guy's last name. And he's like, my special guest. I'm going to say his name right. Jeffrey DeVos, which I hope I did pronounce right. I always try my best here. So I just wanted to let you guys know it was a privilege to actually be in a stunt class with Jeffrey. And I'm telling you, this guy, you know, we're probably going to go at it because one of his idols is actually Bruce Lee and mine is Jackie Chan. And if you guys know how people like to compare Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, we're going to go at it tonight. No, I'm only kidding. But Jeffrey actually teaches martial arts stuff, but I'm going to bring him on. So he's been waiting very, very patiently. That's how you can tell he's kind of a teacher, because he's waiting patiently there in the little homeroom there. So let me see. I think I'm going to bring him. Hopefully this is him.
Hello, Shelly.
On here. Hi.
Hello. What's going on?
How you
doing? Long time.
No, nothing much. Long time, no talk.
Yes, indeed. Well, it sounds like you're doing pretty well for yourself. You got your show going. You got a bunch of shows. You had a bunch of shows, and you're going strong.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I thought it was going to just be, like, for a couple of weeks and stuff, and I ended up doing it for a year, and I'm getting more and more people, like some people like out the Hollywood. I don't know if you've seen pictures on my Facebook page, like people like Douglas Wong, Stephen Lambert. These are people that are real ninjas, and I'm like, I just get so excited because ninjas just turn me on.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, how did you wind up? Incidentally, by the way, I've heard, every pronunciation under the sun for my name, so you're just fine. It's DiBiase.
Oh, did I say it correctly?
I've heard DiBiase. I've heard DiBiase. I've heard DiBiase. To be honest, the authentic Italian way is DiBiase, and that's
it's kind of funny because I'm trying to figure out how to say it, and I butcher everybody's name. So if I really butcher your name really good, that means I like you. So I guess that's a good thing. And well, to get back, I guess you're interviewing me on the spot. Wow, this is a change of pace.
Yeah.
But
how it goes back and forth.
Well, this is the type of show it's a lot of fun, and this is how it is, and people are like, oh, wow, you're pretty cool and sweet, and now I'm getting a reputation where I keep, I try to write, I'm crazy, and I'm nuts and everything, I'm like, hearing people say, no, Shelly, you're actually kind of nice, and I'm like, no, I was like, it's spreading widely, some wild rumor that I'm actually nice, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, what's wrong with nice? There's nothing wrong with nice. Here's the thing. Here's the lesson. It's good to be nice. You got to be nice to people, but you can't let yourself get taken advantage of for being nice. That's the key.
Yeah, that's true. And someone like yourself can kick butt because you're a ninja.
I got to say, if I could convince maybe about 2-3 million more people on the face of the planet to think exactly like you, I would be that superstar that you want me to be. But that's the hard part.
I think that, because it's like, you have, from what I was seeing, the little films you did, I don't even know why, how you're not doing more films and stuff, because the looks on your face, the close-ups, your facial expressions are priceless. And that's like Bruce Lee and I like more like Jackie Chan. You got that. I was like, you just remind me. Even before I knew you liked Bruce Lee, it's like, you got a little Bruce Lee vibe going on. You like to tell me, well, I like Bruce Lee. And I'm like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. I totally agree. And, I heard what you said earlier about, you're the big Jackie Chan fan. I'm the big Bruce Lee fan. But the truth is, I actually love them both. I wouldn't be half surprised if, subconsciously, I would take some of the aspects, I watch a lot of Jackie Chan films, and I take some of the aspects of his performance, and, he's big on the facial expressions. And I wouldn't be surprised subconsciously if some of that was seeping into what I do on film as well. So that's probably where I'm getting it from.
Yeah, I just saw that. Wait, if I can say it correctly, the film Diablo. How do you say that correctly? That short film you did.
You mean the last one I did? I'm actually thinking about changing the name because I find that a lot of people find it difficult to pronounce. They're not sure what it is. So, but yeah, it's called Dalibor. But
okay.
Yeah. It's actually a Serbian word, and it actually has a meaning to it, which is why I picked the word. It actually comes from dal. D-A-L is actually a word that means to fight, and then libor is, I believe it means far away. So if you put the two together, it means to fight far away, literally. So, and that's essentially what the character is. It's a mercenary who travels around and fighting in faraway places to resolve conflicts, et cetera, get paid. And it's an excuse for hopefully good action. But that's the meaning behind it. Borit, Dal and Borit is the verb. Dal means, I believe, to fight, and Borit It means far away. It's one or the other. It's but it's something that can be easily looked up, and that's where the meaning came from. I was thinking about changing it to something along the lines of Mercenary D, because it's just an easier name to remember. It's a little more descriptive, but that's to answer your question. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. I mean, they do that to Jackie Chan films all the time. They have, like, a certain name for it over in Asia, and then when they come here, I mean, he had many different names for his film. So, hey, you could do
oh,
it,
absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, I was thinking about that earlier today. They call different names the films. Bruce Lee had several films that he made in Hong mm-hmm. Kong when he was trying to build a name for himself, and then when he introduced them over here, he changed them. For example, Way of the Dragon. Was that famous film that he made with Chuck Norris. I don't know if you remember that. And when it came over to the United States, he changed it to Return of the Dragon. So it's just, I don't understand really why they got to change the name so much, but it happens.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I can't explain it, but maybe it's just the way the system works with certain things with films. I don't know. I can explain it. Maybe it's easier, people can relate to this. Names or something, I don't know. Maybe it's marketing purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it could be. It's one of those things that you have to probably be in the distribution field to get more of a handle on, to understand why they do it. But you know, whatever it may be, the film is a film, and to me, if it's a good film, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I enjoy like the action and stuff. And before we get on to the, because I'm gonna want to know about the action on film festival more on the East Coast in a minute. I want to know first off. Because I was mentioning, martial arts and films. Now, how did you get into martial arts?
Oh, how did I get into it? Well, that's an interesting question. As far as formal education, I actually started a little later than I wish I did. I didn't actually formally start getting into it until my early 20s. But as far as regular personal education, if you can call it that, I was that kid when I was, 15 years old or, between 10 and 15. I would go out in the backyard, and I'd have a pair of, foam nunchaku, and I'd just sit there and I'd practice by myself, or I'd pick up, a bow can, a bokuto, which is basically a wooden sword, and I'd practice, just in my own whatever I felt felt natural, and I would practice, swinging the sword and striking and swinging the nunchaku, and then when I got a little bit older, I'd go to the gym, and I'd just work on punching and kicking in the bag. So there was a lot of just, how should I say, personal just interest without really knowing, without having the actual formal education or real guidance. And I think I just kind of sort of personally went into it because it just felt natural and I liked it and I wanted to do something about it. And also it also probably helps that my father was a black belt in karate, and he introduced me to Kung Fu Theater when I was a little kid, Saturday afternoons and stuff like that. You remember? I don't know if you remember Kung Fu Theater.
Yes.
I used to watch those. Yeah, I used to watch those shows all the time. So sort of subconsciously, the interest was building in my head. Between my family being involved in it, my father was a black belt. Watching the movies as a kid and then practicing on my own in my own way. It just was sort of a general interest that was put into me at a fairly early age, early teens. And then it wasn't until I was about, 22, 23 that I finally decided to do something about it. And I formally took a kendo class, and I've been, been in love with it ever since. So even to this day, I still practice kendo, though not as much as I used to. I still love it, and I still do it.
Yeah,
so
and
that's,
you teach
I don't know if
that
answers
now,
your question.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, yeah, because it's like everything goes into one another question. It just, evolves into it. So, from training and such, you got in. You teach back in Boston, back in Massachusetts, right?
In Massachusetts, but currently I'm in Billericay at this time. So the actual class is in Billericay. It's a small kendo group. It's just we're always open for new members, and we'd like more people to show. Right now we have about 6 members, and it's a good group. It's enough to definitely have a good class, and right now it's in Billerica at a place called Alan Kessler's Karate Studio, and we know the owners and stuff like that, and they were kind enough to give us a room, And we're all friends, and it's good. You know, we go to class, we practice as hard as we can, and I think it's also more of a social outlet for some people, you know, because we're all kind of friends with each other. We hang out afterwards and stuff like that. So it's great. It's not just martial arts. It's about, you know, social living as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I know about that, and it's something that I've always loved, martial arts. And the funny thing is, everybody I know that's into martial arts, we all know about Kung Fu Theater. I don't, no matter what ages, everybody, even like, I'm telling you, even the masters, like the teachers of like Douglas Wong, the guy that, he's the one who was teaching like Kevin Sorbo from Hercules and Lucy Lawless. And Jason Scott Lee, he taught Jason Scott Lee from the Dragon Bruce Lee story, and Douglas remembers it. My friend, I call him my ninja pal because he's really cool, Stephen Lambert, who doubles for like James Woods and stuff. And he's in Hollywood. And it's like everyone knows from like basic
Kung Fu
martial
Theater.
Arts. Like everyone knows what Kung Fu Theater is. You just mentioned it, you just know, and you laugh because it was so badly dubbed. And I could never understand, like, I didn't understand the plot. I was like, I used to get weirded out by the dubbing because I never understood what was going on. And going, the mouth doesn't match the voice.
Right,
you know, I didn't
right.
know what dubbing was as a kid, and we only had TV, and we were lucky if we had cable, because some of us, you know, we were growing up with TV with UHF and VHF, and you had a coat hanger, and sometimes the two knobs would come out, and you'd have
that's
to have
right.
someone hold the coat hanger, and it's like, then you had
what
cable.
About that? What about you ever try wrapping tin foil around the antenna sometimes, though? Remember that?
Yes, we did all these things. And I'm like, I swear to God, if you were by yourself and it wasn't working all right, you would have to stand next to the TV and watch the TV with, like, the bunnies and stuff. And it's like, if you get a new TV, that antenna didn't last that long. It just,
yes.
I don't know what it was. It was just like, okay, you had to go and get a coat hanger from the closet and put it on the back of the TV. But then it's like, when you finally got a color TV, and this was the box, not the flat screen TV, and then you got cable, and it's like, ooh la la, we're rich, we have cable. I mean, it's so old school just to think how it's advanced, and you couldn't rewind. So if you wanted to watch something, like if you wanted to find out credits, like you could do everything nowadays. It would take you so long to try to watch something and find the credits because you couldn't pause it, and you wouldn't know who those actors were.
Forget about
stuff.
It. Sure.
Yeah.
Information technology nowadays just puts everything in our fingertips. Back then, back then we had to go to the library. I mean, who goes to the library now? You can find everything you need online. It's just,
I'm a nerd. I still do.
Oh, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that instead of, like, you know, getting the index cards and searching down rows and rows of books, I mean, chances are you could probably find that book online somewhere. it's so crazy. But yeah, Kung Fu Theater back in the 80s, man, that was the shiznit. I mean, that's all I watched when I was a kid. And I was the same way as you. I didn't really quite understand it. You know, I was just more, you know, interested in the action and the movement and stuff like that. That's what settled in my head.
Yeah, and I get so hypnotized because it's like I learned, you know, basic movements and stuff, but I don't know what it is. I could sit there and my like watch people and even in the dojo and stuff and learning, and I swear to God, my jaw would be down, I'd be drooling, like looking at people's movements, and I'd be like hypnotized because it's like I would think, how is it humanly possible for somebody's body to do that, to move in certain ways? I'm like, that's just like, they're not human.
Yeah,
because
it's amazing.
Not everything was on wires. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, oh, and I'd like tilt my head to the side and then I'd go, oh, and you're just like, what the heck? And I, you know, because you're a kid and you never see these things. And plus, you know, a lot of Asian culture, like learning on TV, and I'm like, I was just fascinated. Like, oh, you know how little kids sit there and they watch something with their mouths open?
Yep,
that's how
exactly
I was.
It. That's what I was doing.
Yeah. You know, like, how many forms, I know I have your bio up and stuff, but how many forms of martial arts do you know?
I have the most formal education, I would say, with kendo. As I say, I did that since I was, you know, I've been on for several years now. There were times in my life where I had to work and I had different obligations going on, so I had to take a hiatus here and there. But, you know, off and on now, I've been doing it for several years. And And coincidentally, I just recently went and I took a promotions test because I had been putting it off for so long, and I'm one step below first degree black belt. So that'll be interesting. It'll take me about probably another. I'll probably take my time, practice hard, work up to the next level, and probably take a promotions test next year, and I'll be first degree black belt. So that would be a wonderful thing because that helps out from a teaching standpoint. But to answer your question, I'm kind of digressing. Kendo is my primary study, but I've also had several opportunities to practice Filipino martial arts with some folks. Did some research on that and practiced some folks with some folks with Filipino martial arts, which is like arnis, eskrima, short stick, knife, and stuff like that. I wouldn't say that I'm an expert, but I have good working knowledge of it. And I've also worked on Western swordsmanship, a lot of, like, German longsword and stuff like that. There's a guy, his name is Jeff Tsai, and he runs a class out of Burlington, actually, and I've known him for several years. And he's actually getting pretty big. He's running exhibitions and competitions and stuff with Western swordsmanship. So I studied with him, and, between studying with him and doing a lot of my own stuff and research, and I would say that Kendo... Filipino martial arts involving stick and knife and short sword, and I'd say some Western swordsmanship, as far as some saber work and some German longsword are probably the martial arts I'm most familiar with. But in addition to that, I would say that I also have some film training experience because film fighting and martial arts fighting are definitely two different animals. So you have to understand the differences between the two in order to. To do both. So in addition to the martial arts training, I also have some film training as well. There's a lot of great people that do a lot of good work. And, you can educate yourself in so many ways. It's like we were talking about earlier, technology and computers. You can find all kinds of resources from books to videos to DVDs. And then you practice, you get people together and you physically practice and you work it out. And, between that and working with various people, and various indie martial arts films, I'd say I've gained some good experience.
Yeah, you should. I'm still in disbelief that you're not like some big super martial artist on film. Like action.
Well,
I don't understand.
Yeah, well, you know what I think a lot of that has to do with? A lot of it probably has to do with, I'd say the answer to that is twofold. Okay, and one answer would part A to that answer would be opportunity. Okay, I mean you look around Boston, this area, there's really not a lot if you think about it. And if you look around and you see what's being done and created here as far as film work is concerned, there's not a lot of martial arts action related stuff that's going on here. There really isn't. And I think a lot of the people that are good at that stuff or can do that stuff, they've either already moved to either New York or California, or they're just not interested. So I think part of the reason is just opportunity. There just doesn't seem to be as much opportunity here on this side of the planet as, say, over in L.A., California. That's where the action capital of the world is. I mean, and even New York, it's just such a much larger city, more people doing things. You can find a greater opportunity to do those things there. So part A, I think, is just opportunity, maybe lack of opportunity. And part B to that answer is, I actually have, like, a lot of things going on that I have to balance. See, some folks, they can – I don't know how they do it. Maybe it's because they got a lot of money or they hit the lottery or something. But they can focus their entire lives or a lot of their time, the majority of the time, just working in film and making films and getting better at that craft and doing that. I have two jobs, okay? I have a full-time job, and I teach the class part-time. I attend the class. I attend Kendo class so I can keep my training up, okay? I also have a girlfriend, okay? And, girlfriends take time. Girlfriends take time and money. I don't want to say anything bad because she might call in and try to kill me. So
I'll be on her side, so you better watch out.
Yeah, that's funny.
Remember, we stick together, so you better watch out. I don't know her. Well, I think I might know her. We might have talked, I think we talked on Facebook, like we touched base. I was saying something. I think I know who she is, but, us girls would be sticking together.
So you better watch out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I know she's listening right now. But anyway,
who's gonna get a spanking tonight? That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I better drop the subject right now. So
yeah.
In any case, but so yeah.
Anyway.
And so all those things, plus the girlfriend, plus on top of all that, yes, I do still play music. Okay, I played music for several years.
That's another thing. You're a drummer, right?
Yes. Yep. I play in a band. I've played in a band for several years, since about, you know, mid-90s or so. I've been playing off and on, you know, again, just like my kendo practice, based on what's available and my work schedule and what's going on in my life. I may have had to take a couple of years off here and there for hiatus. But generally speaking, since 95, off and on, I've been practicing and playing in bands. So, and currently, I'm still playing in a band. Now, granted, we're not doing a whole lot. I mean, we occasionally may play a show here and there. We still record home demos every so often, and we put them out, and we still get together and practice. We all have things to do. We all have busy lives, so it's not like we can, focus and put 100% effort into just playing music. It's more of a fun thing and an outlet and a hobby. So, but the point of my story is, there's practice there, there's demos there, there's occasional shows, there's the girlfriend, there's the film work, there's my two jobs, there's the kendo training. Do you see where I'm going with this? So the point of my story is, maybe to answer your first original question, part of the reason why I haven't gotten further along is because I have a lot of things that are taking my time. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I wouldn't say it's a bad thing because these are all things
you're
that
like,
I...
yeah. You're just a busy guy.
Well, go ahead, what?
Yeah, you're a busy guy. You're like Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
he's all over the place doing 15 things. There's no time to sleep.
Yeah, there isn't. Though, the huge difference is of those 50 million things that he's doing, probably 45 million of them are related to film. And that's why he's much further along. Not to mention his awesome extensive training since he was a kid, and his great ability to do what he does. So, it's what happens is they're all things that I like to do. So I'm not sitting here complaining about it. But at the same time, it's hard to sort of focus on any one particular thing and get that much further ahead in it when you got multiple things going on. So that's kind of just how I am. I got to have multiple things, I guess.
And the other thing, too, is because I'm trying to remember it, and I wish I could get the tapes. And I think I had asked Matt Martino when he was teaching the stunt class. He had stuff on YouTube, but it kind of, the stunt class we took. I guess that's the first time I had met you, and I'm trying to remember you. Did we go at it in stunt class? Because I remember, I think, going at it with Big Greg and I think Matt himself. And I don't remember who else. And I was, like, trying to find it. And I wrote to Matt, and he says, when you two converted over, it kind of dropped the videos. And I'm like, oh, man, because I want to show my Ninja Pals. I took a stunt class, and I'm like, And I'm like, did we? Go at it all. I mean, I can't even remember.
If I remember correctly, I don't think we actually did anything together that was filmed. I remember I was paired with a very large guy who had some wrestling background, and then we were doing our little thing, and stuff like that, and he'd film stuff. But I think I don't think we actually got paired as a group that got filmed. But I do recall the reason why I recall you from that class is because I remember you had the pair of nunchaku with you, and you take that everywhere you go. And I remember we talked a little bit afterwards about nunchaku, and I mentioned to you that I had some experience, and then I think I suggested at some point maybe we could work on it together or something, some nunchaku.
Yeah,
but,
you said something, and I was like, man, I feel so bad because I'm like, I know I'm kind of, my memories kind of gets messed up sometimes, and I'm like,
it was a long time ago.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here going, because if I don't remember something about somebody, and I'm like, I don't know, and I'm like, I'm going to be live on the air, and I'm like, what happens if he asked me about something that we did in class, and I don't remember?
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to remember.
I mean, everybody's got all kinds of things. Yeah, no, I think, that is specifically why I remember you, because you were the only one there that showed up with a pair of nunchaku, and I like nunchaku as well, so that's why I remembered you, and that's why I
mean. You're awesome with them. I remember remember there was a film, and I forget which one. I think you had a couple parts to it, right? And you cut some guy's arm off in it, and you put all this stuff to it. You're sitting there swinging. I call it nunchuck, but you call it nunchucko. I think that's what you. That's how you say it. I say nunchucks, right? So
yeah.
You're sitting there, and you're swinging them around, and then you're like yawning, and you're swinging them around, and I'm like, ah!
Yes.
I was like,
yeah,
that was
a goof around film that me and a bunch of friends did. We were hanging out in the woods. We decided to just put some ninja comedy together, and I did this routine where I was swinging the nunchuck around, doing some moves and stuff like that. And then at one point, without paying, my character wasn't paying attention. Decided he was tired. Started yawning. And then another character walked by, and as I started to start my routine up again, the nunchuck whacked him in the head, and knocked him over. So it was a bit like a comedy aspect. The funny thing is, we were just screwing around, just messing around, having fun, not trying to be real too serious about anything. And that video, I wound up posting it on MySpace several years ago. This was probably like mid 2000s. Somehow, some way, it found its way to the front page on MySpace, and so. It was like, when a video usually gets listed on the front page, a lot of people see it. So hundreds of people saw that video. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, the last time I checked, there was probably something like 150,000 views on that video.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was incredible.
You are a superstar. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not getting paid for it.
Well, you know something? You could put commercials or something on it. I heard I don't know how to do it because I'm kind of a tech tired somewhat, but I heard you on your YouTube account, you can actually do something with commercials and you can get paid for it.
Yes,
I don't know
that's
how it
correct.
Looks,
I got that email as well. I got that.
You gotta do that. Because people love ninjas, and then you could have your own YouTube channel. I swear, you gotta do something. I swear to God, I'd even make a promotional page for you. Get something started because I do stuff. I mean, you see, like, some of the stuff I do, and it's like, I'm really good at what I do, like, promoting things. I mean, I can't get people jobs, but, making those Facebook pages, I do a pretty good job on them. And, I'd get something going, people might go, listen, I'll spread the word about Jeffrey because I think he's just awesome. And, I wish you could be in more films.
Yeah, and that's again, and I appreciate that. I always appreciate your support and enthusiasm. And but that's another reason I think that's back to your original question. Why I'm not further along is I suck at PR. I suck at PR. I suck at promoting, getting myself out there, and that's why I hang around people like you because you can help with that.
I'm excited because this is the stuff. Like I always say to like all the other guys and stuff like that. Growing up, I never wanted to be Barbie. I wanted to be a ninja. So you can even see me on my Facebook page tonight. I was posting Ray Park and a couple other guys about ninjas. I gotta go take a shower. I'm like I'm getting all excited about ninjas and I'm like I'm getting hot and bothered. It's like the hormones are flowing. I'm like G.I. Joe ninjas. I'm like what woman in their right mind gonna get all turned on by ninjas? I mean, come on now. It gets me all excited. I was like, I don't know. I'm just excited about ninjas. I'm all hot and bothered. I just got out of the shower, and I'm sweating like a pig right now just thinking about G.I. Joe, Storm Shadow, and Snake Eyes. And I'm going, Ray Park, I'll spin around with you any day. I'm just sitting there. Just going, I was like, I can't help it. I was like, I don't know what it is about ninjas that I'm so – just excite me because I want to be one. I know it's more maybe of a male thing. I'm not trying to be a man, but it's something. I don't know if it's about the uniform, the weapons. They're sneaky. They can kick butt, and they just, they can do, anything. They can run out of rooftops. You just don't know that they got those magic balls that you throw, and the smoke pops, and they're gone, and all this stuff.
Yeah, if you analyze it long enough, we can get some really good intel on what you like in a guy. And it actually sounds like you described it all pretty well. But you like sneaky guys, though? Really? You like guys sneaky, huh?
Oh, no! It's no!
That's funny. Yeah,
hey,
go ahead, what?
Well, did you call in twice? Because your number is twice in the queue. Is someone else?
Oh, yeah. I called in the first time, but then I got disconnected.
I didn't know if so someone else was calling in with your number, and I'm like, has this poor person been on hold? But I just wanted to make sure. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. But getting back to, you know, about the other thing I wanted to touch base on, and I really do want to know. Well, there's two things I do want to ask. I'm holding off on the Action on Film Festival, the second thing. But
okay, yeah, no problem.
I hope I get to work with you in a film. I want to be a ninja in a film with you. And I tell guys all the time, because, no, seriously, they say, like, with acting and stuff, and people say, I know, I swear to God, it's just because they say I would limit myself because, you know, about I don't want to do kissing scenes and the nude scenes. I says, no, but I'll jump off a building with you. And I'm like, I want to be a ninja with you. I mean, you may be able to kick my butt, but if I'm running alongside of you, I want to be a ninja with you.
All right. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was definitely gonna mention before I left today that I do have some ideas for my next Dalibor film, i.e. Mercenary D, because nobody's gonna remember Dalibor. And there's a group fight scene that I need to put together, and I've already started talking to a few people, and I've already got maybe half the fight scene put together. And I need folks to essentially sort of dress up in somewhat dark clothing with probably a mask, and I need them to be able to swing a weapon and take a fall. And I was thinking of you.
So
if you think about it, dark clothing, a mask, a weapon, and moving around fighting, that's kind of like being a ninja. And if you're interested, I can get you a part.
Oh, baby. Oh, Jeff. Oh, I'm getting all turned on right now. Just to be a ninja.
All right, so I'm definitely... so that's... How's that for instant gratification?
Oh, my gosh. This has made my whole day. I just, like... Oh, I'm so hot right now.
You got to keep calm.
Yeah, I can't help it. I know, live on the air. Oh, my gosh. Just kidding. I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like... I'm so excited.
I'm glad you're excited.
It would be an awesome costume. I think ideas and stuff. It's just, you know, if there's a way I can get back to Boston, definitely. I mean, it depends on when you're filming it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll let you know
in
advance. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I just, I'll definitely put your name down on the list of people interested.
Oh, yeah, being a ninja? Yeah, swinging nunchucks? Yeah, and I got a bow staff now.
Oh, you got a bow staff now, huh?
Yes, I got a bow staff.
Would you pick that up?
You're not going to believe this, but there's a city next to me, and I call it the weapon store, but it's an army, like an army store, but I call it, it's the weapon store. I'm like a kid in the candy store when I go there, and it's like, oh, when I go in there, it's all, like, all clothing and stuff, and I feel like Beavis, and I'm like, oh, it's like nunchucks are behind the counter and all these weapons, and I'm like, oh, my God. When I go there, and I'm like, I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, there's a few of those. I went to Key West recently on a vacation trip, and they have stores that are pretty much exactly like the way you described. They're not really martial arts stores per se, but they do have, you know, just lots of weapons in the store. And it's funny because I think that, if, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that store also had a lot of bongs and smoke pipes. So I'm not so sure it's a smart idea to mix weapons play with getting high.
Yeah,
but, you know.
No, I don't think so. You got to respect the weapon. Like, but I have a lot of respect for weapons. I know I get all excited and stuff, but I know that they're dangerous, because I just did a photo shoot with a real katana blade. And when I had my hand on that,
oh, yeah,
I'm like,
I saw the pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like kind of nervous, because, like, this thing could really cut my arm off. And I'm like, I'm on, like, where the water was, it goes onto this little pier, and it was very, like little wavy, and it was just, it's a lake, and I'm going, oh my gosh. And I'm not a heel type of girl. I'm like, I thank God I'm tall, because I don't really need them, but if I wear heels, it's a thick heel. So I'm sitting modeling, and I'm sitting here going, oh my God, please don't let me cut my head off with this thing, because I'm getting the photographers help me pose with it and stuff, and I'm going, oh my gosh, this thing is really dangerous. So
as
long as you're careful and everything, and it was like, it was really real, and I was going, oh, I'm so excited. And I was like, but I got to be careful. And I'm very serious when it does come to weapons, even a bow staff and nunchucks, because I just picked them up the other day, the nunchucks, to try to practice, and I smacked my elbow really good. And I'm always smacking my head and smacking my elbows, and it's like, these things are really dangerous. So I do have respect. I kid around, but I'm very respectful, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, and it sounds like typical quality nunchaku training, which is the back of the head, the knee, and the elbow, the most commonly things that are hit. You know.
Yeah, the elbow. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know, like, why do I always hit my elbow?
So the other thing is something to help you with that. I don't know if you have a set, but I'm always a big fan of practice weapons, because especially if you're not too familiar, you should pick up the practice weapon before the real weapon. They make all kinds of foam.
I got a white ones with dragons, because now I figure when I go to places like, you know, for film shoots or events and stuff, I bring the foam ones with me, because I don't know what all states are. I mean, usually events, like for film premieres and stuff, usually no one says anything, but I bring the foam ones with me, because I was like, I don't know if I really want to get arrested at these places, because, you know, every state's different, and I don't know the laws in every state, so I was like, you know what, this way I'm not going to get arrested, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it is kind of a good idea. And the next thing, which I'm very excited at, and I missed it, and I hope you're going to have another one. I think you call it, it's a film festival, and it was Action On Film Festival. Is that
The Action On Film Festival is run by a great man by the name of Del Weston, and he's in California. And he puts together, it's an action film festival that places an emphasis on indie filmmaking. So it's not big blockbuster Hollywood. I mean, it shouldn't be, at least. And it's great, because he's providing a voice for all types of action filmmakers, indie action filmmakers all over the world. And then he's been at it for several years, and you send your submissions, and he's got a really nicely laid out. He makes it a week long event. You come down, you watch a bunch of films. There's special seminars, things you can go to. There's all kinds of industry people that hang out there. You can meet, greet, talk, exchange numbers, et cetera, et cetera. And he gives out awards. He has votings on, you know, best films and whatnot in several different categories. And it's I would say it's a fairly prestigious, you know, independent film festival. The way it relates to me was this past year I submitted my second Dalibor film called Rivals to that festival, and it was submitted for the fight choreography catalog category, and I was nominated, so it was a great honor to be nominated for best fight choreography for a short film. So, along with maybe, I think it was like five or six other indie filmmakers who were also nominated for the category. And so it was great. It was just a little bit of press, a little bit of clout, you know, to know that, you know, a prestigious film festival actually nominated my film for best fight choreography. You know, I can wave that around a little bit, you know.
You're the best. Well, you're one of the best. I mean, in my eyes, and the Action Film Festival is back in Boston. Is that the same one?
Yeah, the one in Boston. The one in Boston is the one that I created. That's called the Boston Action Film Festival. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I was getting at. I was like, are you going to have one again?
It's a good question. People have asked me that. A lot of people are under the impression also that it's an annual thing, that I do it every single year, and that's not the reality. If you really look into it, I've only had two of these. The first one was actually in 2008, and then the second one was in 2012. So that was a 4-year hiatus there. It's not the kind of thing that I do every year simply because of I don't know how much people really know about organizing a festival and putting things together, but there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really huge.
It is, you know, so, and, you know, and all this money essentially is coming out of my own pocket. Okay, so it's not like I got a lot of people, you know, giving me money to put these things together. So it's not something I can do on an annual basis, not only because of money, but also because of time constraints. I think I just told you earlier how busy my schedule can be. So it's difficult to put all these things together. People have made some great suggestions, though. I think if I was to, you know, get more serious and hardcore about promoting it and having it more on a regular basis, I would have to get investors or just people who would be willing to endorse. You know, maybe I can run a couple ads with a couple of different businesses, and in exchange they pay me money to cover the cost of the festival, that kind of stuff, business stuff. You know, and if I was to look into that and and really find some investors who are interested, that would be what I would need to do to make it more of a regular event. But as of now, it's more or less something I just do on my own with my own money, and as a result, it's just going to have to be every few years, not every single year. So that's how that works.
Yeah, I hope it does turn into where it does become more successful, because I would love to definitely go and see it, you know, try to attend and stuff, because that's my stuff that I really love. And it looks like from your pitches, because, you know, with the swords, you're on the stage and stuff, it looked like a really good time.
Yeah, that picture on my Facebook background there is that was from the 2008 film festival. We were doing some saber work, demonstrating how it applies to film and stuff like that. And it was a fun time. People, from what I gathered, people seemed to enjoy it. So it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have got there. It's right now I don't have a car right now, so I'm sitting here going, I miss out on so many things, and I know I'll get when I get things together, because I'm hoping with the radio show, you know, I've been doing it for so long, and now it's trying to get it syndicated and everything. So that's what I'm praying for, because then everything will fall into place for me where I can do other things, and maybe it's something where I'm hoping keep getting. Which is an honor to have you on here. And let me know if you need any promotion. If you're going to have a film festival, let me know, and I'll try to help promote it or whatever you need.
Right.
I can help pitch in and stuff, you know, on the radio show. If there's a
radio
page
perfect,
you need for it, if you have an Action on Film Festival page that you need help with, let me know, and I can help start that. I mean, anything that you need, you know, back home, if you need something to set up, promotion, I can do the best I can. Just let me know.
Okay, that's great. I'll definitely keep that in mind. Yeah, I did initially have the I was working with a gentleman. His name is Hyun Supu. He's good at web design. So he's good at animation, some CGI and stuff like that. And he was at the original festival. He suggested creating a web page for the festival, and he was going to maintain it. But the problem is, the reason I haven't really followed up on it is maintained it is because, it doesn't happen often enough. I mean, it's once every several years. If it was an every year event, then I could justify maintaining a web page. But as it is now, it just didn't seem like I could justify having a web page for something that only happens every few years. But I'll definitely keep you in mind. I'll definitely if something comes up, I'll throw it at you, and then you can promote it on the radio show. Or if the time comes to make a page, we can do that. So I definitely appreciate all the support. It's not that easy to do it all yourself.
Yeah, well, a Facebook page, I think a Facebook page, the fan club pages, I think are easier and a lot less money to do. So if you're doing it for 1 year, it's time consuming to do the fan pages and stuff on Facebook, because it's the way I have to do a thing, you grab it from one place and you copy and paste it into a folder, and then you're going to take it and add it to the page. It's a little time consuming. You got to put a title and all these things on it, but doing it Facebook, I mean, that's a big social media, and it's something that is also free. So that's another thing, too. I mean, now they have where you can actually advertise it, but it's you got to have the money for it and, things, too. And, maybe you can answer a question for me, since you about film and stuff. I don't know how much more time you have left, because I didn't know if you said you had an hour or whatever you had to do.
Yeah, I can go for until about maybe, 5-10 past if I had to go that long.
Okay. I just was because I wasn't too sure. Because people, they say, half hour out, but then people just love to keep talking. So,
to
let you know where the time is, because everybody has fun on the show, and people are this is really cool. It's just sitting around having tea. But with films and stuff, because I really do want to know, because this is a film that I've been trying to get going, and I have a director, and I have a lead stuntman, and another person, another someone that's into martial arts and stuff. And the director, I don't know if you know him, his name is Sang Verapaz. He's back in Boston. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Okay. I don't think it rings a bell.
He's been doing a lot of films and stuff like that, photography. He volunteered to be the director of my film. He's taking his time out. And then Anthony Huang, he's a stunt guy.
Yes.
I don't know if you know him. He's my lead. He's my one of my lead bad guys. He's like going to be fighting me. The thing is, the only thing that's holding me back, and it's we figured out the budget is $500. The problem is, I have the $500, but you know I make a living myself, and I support myself full time. I don't have significant other support me. I'm doing everything by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not living off government support. I'm working full-time. And I had gotten sick this winter, and I had pneumonia really bad. So I was out of work, and I had to take that to pay my rent. So I lost the money for the film. The thing is, and it's like, I can talk, and I've got people's attention, like, you know what I'm saying, like the biggest stunt people in Hollywood and everything. But it's like getting the money, $500. And it's like, I don't even know how, I'm not a business. I talk. Hmm. People listen and find me interesting because I know people. How do you know how to get, like, money? Like, I mean,
right.
What is the proper way of going about asking things?
Well, one thing that I think seems to be finding lots and lots of success, and I myself should really start looking into this as far as, maybe budgeting for my next film, and you've probably heard of it, but if you haven't, you should really look into it, is Kickstarter. Have you heard of Kickstarter? Okay,
yeah, I tried doing that in Indiegogo, and it didn't help me at all. No,
Indiegogo?
Either one of those, I tried both
of
them.
Okay, I'm not too familiar. I've heard of Indiegogo, but I'm not familiar with how that works. I guess I don't know a whole lot about Kickstarter because I haven't done it myself, but just there are a lot of friends on my Facebook that are indie filmmakers, action filmmakers, et cetera, and there have been several times in the past where they post things about how, oh yeah, we're doing Kickstarter, and we're doing this, and they advertise and they do their thing and they wind up getting the money they're looking for. I mean, these people have budgets anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000, and they're actually earning the money. Of course, it also helps that these people have a fan base to begin with. If you don't have a fan base, it may be harder. But Kickstarter is the kind of thing where it seems that a lot of people are having success. So I don't know. I guess you said you tried Indiegogo. That didn't work. Have you tried Kickstarter? Have you looked into it?
Yeah, I think the thing is when people want something in return, they don't want to just donate money. They want, I don't have nothing to give people. So that's my thing right there. They want something. If they're going to donate $5, $10, it's like I have nothing to give in return. So it's like finding what can I give in return. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like when you have nothing, I don't know.
Yeah. See, some folks on Kickstarter will do things like, and this might give you some ideas, is, just something as simple as getting their names in the credits. That's one thing you can do. Another thing is some people give T-shirts. Maybe they'll have a couple T-shirts printed out with the film on the front or whatever. And sometimes, they'll offer DVDs. So, like, when you finish your film, most people will press DVDs, and then you just give them a DVD. So these are, types of things you can offer in return. And the thing about it is, when you do Kickstarter, you have to make a video that describes what you're doing, why you're doing it, and why people should give you money. And during that video, just be really honest with people. You could make a video and say, this is what I'm doing. I could offer maybe a DVDs in return, but I don't have a lot. There's only so much that I can offer. And as long as people understand your motivation and why you can't do these things, they could understand and still donate money to you. It's amazing because it seems like if you have a budget of that's relatively small, and by small I mean $5,000 or so or under, if you can get just like 100 people to give you like $20, that's some good.
Yeah, the thing is, right, because Sang, I got in touch with him a little while ago, Sang and Anthony, there's something that happened to me, and I won't mention names. People approached me, talking, on the internet, somewhere, and I'm not going to, like I said, mention names. And they were going, oh, well, we can help you and distribute and blah, 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 and getting into it. But the thing is, I would have had to change things, the director and Anthony, and it would have been whitewashed. And I'm sitting here going, okay, there's people that want to help me, but they're saying, oh, we can have these and these people. And they're like, you know, they're saying, well, it's bigger. And I'm going, I'm sitting here and I'm going, I am not, I was like, it's great that people want to help me, but it would change the whole thing in the field. And it's like, the weird thing is, if I did that, I mean, it would ruin the feel to it, because this is a dedication. It's a thank you gift to Jackie Chan. And to do that, that would be an insult slap to Jackie's face, because I can get it to Jackie. I can get him to see it. It's a thank you. I mean, it's just that I want to do. But I'm also going to, because, you know, I've been in touch with Jackie. There's people that I know I've, you know, but the thing is, he wants me to do my own work. Like Jackie Chan, no matter whoever talks to Jackie, you know, anybody in the business, because I've been talking to a lot of big-name stunt people, they give me advice, but they want me to work from the ground up, and that's what I'm doing. So I have all Jackie's attention now, and they all know about
that's
me,
great.
But it's giving, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is what I work for, and a lot of people said that I couldn't get his attention, and it's like, it's one thing led to the other, and like his Facebook page and other things, the Jackie Chan community, I'm part of the fan club and all this stuff now, so it's just the fact that people are going to be like, well, what else are you going to do with that? Because no one's going to care that I'm going to thank Jackie Chan and give it to him, which, you know, that I just want to thank him. But the other thing is, I've been doing my homework, and I'm going to submit it to places in other countries with subtitles, because it's going to be comedy and action. And there's so much room. Like, I've been looking all over the place, and I'm like, I can send it here, send it there, and put subtitles, not just in America. And I'm not looking, it's not to look for win awards. It's just having that underdog feeling, which is me, and, you know, just being, it's kind of a hero type of film. It's called The Dishwasher. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, that type of film. And
yeah,
it's
that's
just something...
Yeah, it's interesting because because films that are that rely more on like physical action and comedy through action, usually those are the types of films that do really well internationally because you know especially action, because action is just one of those things that everybody understands. You know, everybody understands when you pick up a gun and shoot a gun. Everybody understands when you're getting into a fight with somebody and you're throwing punches, kicks, and swinging swords. People understand that, so that makes it very good as far as international. So if your film has a lot of that in it, you know, you could definitely, it's probably a smart idea to spread it around the country. Now, but the thing is, I believe in the philosophy as well as working from the ground up and doing your own thing, because, I mean, that's the only way you're going to really, you know, get your point across and get your, you know, if you have an idea that's valuable to you, that you hold dear. One of the best ways to express that is to take control of the filmmaking process, every aspect of it, because that will ensure that your idea gets across the way you want it to. See, a lot of the problems with making films is that, you know, it's so difficult to make a film. You have to get so many people involved, and the problem sometimes with that is you lose creative control of your film. And, you know, you may want to do something in your film, but because all these other people are working on it and are going to be part of it, they may not agree with your creative vision, and that may change your creative vision into something else that you never wanted it to be.
Into a monster.
You know,
it's kind of like, for my first film, I wanted to do all these crazy things, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is the first film, and I think it's, if I do it sweet and simple, that's what I'm thinking of. Do it short, not too complicated, and, you know, I think the knowledge of all the films that I've been studying, and not just in America but overseas, you know, like the great Donnie Yen films, Tony Jaa, and even like Michelle Yeoh, all those ones that are all the great cinematography that I've been studying and looking at the angles, and everybody's saying you got to look at the angles and everything and how it's shot, because, you know, like what you said earlier, in real life and how angles are shot, it's different on film, and I get that. And I hope I learn that. I hope it's like, if I could just be on a film with Jackie Chan and watch what he does, not even to act, but just to see how he works, I would love to do that. I mean, he probably would too.
that'd be great. Yeah, learning the angles, that this brings up a whole interesting conversation too, is, you know, what does it take to do fight choreography? What does it take to do you know, action in a film. And a lot of that is it's not just the fight. It's not how well you can put the fight together. It's not how well you can perform the fight. It's also how you film it. And on top of that, it's also how you edit it. I mean, there's so many steps in the creation process that if you screw it up, you know, you could have the greatest fight scene in the world, but if your editor doesn't know what he's doing, then it's going to look like crap. Or if your DP can't film it properly, it's going to look like crap. So this goes back to what I was saying earlier. The more control and the more knowledge you have, the more control you have over the filmmaking process and the more knowledge you have over the filmmaking process, the more likely you're going to get the product that you want. So definitely learn the angles. Definitely learn how to film. You know, watch all the great movies. You know, Jackie Chan is – you love Jackie Chan, so you should be watching all kinds of Jackie Chan. He's one of the masters at you know, absolute best when it comes to proper angles to film action, make it look good. So, it's a learning process. It's a great process, and, you know, spend as much time as you can on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to learn. It's like, you know, having – it, like, also not just, you know, looking at the films, but I had entered a dojo for a couple years in capoeira and then trained for a year in Tai Chi and have a little bit of that experience. So, you know, just, like, learning and thinking, you know, as I get older, I mean, I'm never going to be even, like, a 1% close to, like, what Jackie Chan is, but having the knowledge. But I would love to have a stunt team and maybe write things, and I wouldn't have to necessarily be the star, but see people who I would want to cast that I think are really good and make those films, because someone like yourself, I'm sitting here going, I'm just so stumped because you have this look, you've got the talent, you know, you've got this expressions and stuff, and I was like, I know you can bring it. And even that fake talking language that you guys made up, you and David Lavelle in the scene, and I was like, I swear to God, there's you said, like, it sounded like a swear. And I was like, what? And it sounded like you found, like, an Italian swear. And I was like, what did he just say? And then Davidson was like, what did he just say? And I'm like, because you told me before it was a made-up language. And I'm going,
right.
And did they say that by accident? And I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, no. There's, as far as I know, there were no swears in any languages. It was completely made up.
Yeah, but when you said it, it was like, because I'm like, I was just like, no, he didn't just say what I thought he said. And it was just like, it's just how it sounded. And it was so cool the way you and David had pulled off that scene. And that's, like, a really great fight scenes. And even, you know, showing in your other films, your sword fighting, two-handed sword fighting, and it's like you really know what you're doing. And even going back and seeing other things where there's a character, and I think you did a samurai and you shaved your head. Like, you shaved part of your head, and it's like you get into character, and then you had a character, and you had, like, a white beard and a white hair, and I don't know if you had a watermelon on a stick or something. I couldn't remember what it
was.
That was
a film called The Challenge by a guy named Chuck Card, and he contacted me for that film. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, continuing on with your point, if you're going to play a role, you got to be able to get into it. And, you know, you'd be amazed at how, you know, if you put it from an acting perspective, just putting on a wig or wearing a mask or wearing the clothing of a certain character or suit can actually just go a long way towards getting you into the vibe and getting you into the mode to act as that character. So I appreciate films that allow you to do that, you know, just get into character by dressing the character. So, I have no problem shaving my head. I mean, I always, you know, usually have a wiffle anyway, so it doesn't matter if I don't have hair on my head.
I think it's more traumatic for a woman to shave her head. You know, a guy, it seems to be normal. I think a woman, it would be kind of scary.
Yeah, I think most films probably aren't going to ask their leading women to shave their heads. Unless you're making G.I. Jane Part 2 or something. But,
or something like that. I don't know if I'd ever have the cojones to kind of, like, shave my head. I'm not sure. Because I'm sitting there thinking about it. I don't know if I could ever do that.
I'm willing to bet, Shelley, that you probably wouldn't have to worry about it. I'm willing to bet nobody's going to ask you to shave your head. Like, because why would they do that? They want to see you for who you are.
Yeah, the big, crazy, big-haired, crazy girl. And I'm like, right now I'm still back at the dark hair. I was like, I can't wait to go back to red hair because of the film that I'm doing, the Valkyr one. I'm actually, like, my hair is dark, and I'm like, oh, I want to go back to red so bad, because I was actually a ginger growing up. I was actually dark hair, dark red hair, because I found a picture, and I go, really? I was really dark red hair, so I was red for a while, and then it's like, they wanted it back for dark, and I'm like, oh, I got to wait to get back to red hair. But so anyway, is there any new projects or anything come up? Because I know you got to go, and I just want to, is there anything at all new coming up?
The only thing I did recently, was, apart from just, I'm really just kind of taking this year to sort of plan my ideas for my next film and the Mercenary D series, the Dalibor series. So I'll probably start filming things next year. But as far as, you know, just other outside projects, I was involved in a film called Alison in Wonderland. It's by a guy named Jules Carrozza. Yeah, he involved me in the sense that it's essentially a parody of Alice in Wonderland. It's a very dark sort of, you know, very dark actually sort of parody with dark comedy elements in it of Alice in Wonderland. And the big fight scene at the end is a scene with Allison against the Red Queen. So he contacted me. He heard about my stuff through a mutual friend named Eamon McGrail. And he heard about me, and he looked at some of my stuff. He liked it, so he contacted me, asked me if I can put a fight scene together between the two girls, the Allison and the Queen. So I got to do that. I got to meet them. I worked with them, trained them on some things, showed them some principles and ideas, and then we got together and put the fight scene together. It was tough. We were working under some constraints, as is usually the case in indie film. We didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. I basically got like one night. One day before the fight, the actual fight, we got a chance to just work on basics and movements and stuff like that. And then the very next day, we filmed the whole thing. And I would say for what it was worth, for what the time we had and their level of experience, both girls had no experience whatsoever on how to do any kind of film fighting or wielding a sword or anything. So I'd say for what it was worth, for our experience level, I think we accomplished some good things. And I think what it's really going to come down to is how it's edited. So hopefully Jules we'll get on that and edit it. And so it's called Alison in Wonderland, and I believe it should be completed in its entirety very soon, actually, and they may actually be a showing later on this year. I'll let you know about it if you're interested in checking it out.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, of course I would. So any shout-outs to any students or anybody? You want to give out some shout-outs to anybody before you
go? Oh, yeah. I'll just, you know, my entire kendo class. Just for being consistent and being there. That would be, you know, Kelly is my girlfriend, and she's actually a student in my class. That's how I met her. Okay, so she's in the class. So there's a shout-out to Kelly. There's Sue Erickson, who's also in the class. John Benson, the really tall guy. And another John, Jonathan, who was recently added to the class. And, of course, the mighty Hitoshi Sano. So you guys, I don't know if you're listening, but... You know, Tosh is great because he, you know, recently, like I said, I took a promotions test and now I'm one step below first degree black belt in my art. And as a sort of, I guess, as a reward, he actually bought me a shinai. A shinai, if you don't know, is like the fencing sword that you use in kendo. And he bought me a quality one. I mean, this is high quality. Okay, this is not like a typical, you know, normal, ordinary sort of cheapish shinai. It's a high quality one. So I thought that was really great to do something.
You gotta take a picture of it and post it on your Facebook page for me. Tag me, please. Take a picture and post it on your page for me, please. I never asked much. You gotta post it on your Facebook page.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I mean, if you want to know what a shinai looks like, you could easily just look it up, just look up kendo fencing equipment, and that's kind of what it looks like. It's just that it's a high quality version of a shinai. It doesn't look that much different from a normal shinai. It's just it's a higher quality, higher construction, and stuff like that. I suppose I could, but you have to wait till I get in touch with somebody who's got a camera phone, because I'm so out of the times. I have my phone is 10 years old. I don't even have a camera function on, so I can't even do it.
Don't feel bad. I'm kind of a tech tard myself sometimes, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, Shelly, it was great talking to you. I'm going to have to probably get moving, though. So.
That's okay. I mean, just thank you so much for being on my show. You know, it's, if I can say this right, like Jackie Chan says, Shashay. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I don't know what he says.
Yeah, it means thank you in Chinese. I don't know if it's Mandarin or Cantonese. It was from the Rush Hour movie, and a little girl actually had said that, so I always keep that in mind. And thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You know, keep in touch. If you need any promotions or whatever, just let me know. And, you know, I hope you become one of those big action stars. We got to, you know, in the making back there, we got to promote you. Just somehow, you got to make it. You got to make it, man. You got to make it.
Well, once again, I always appreciate the support. And, you know, like I said, if I can convince about 3 or 4 million more people to think just like you, I would get exactly what you want me to have.
Sweet. So, that is awesome. And, yeah, thank you so much for being on my show, and hopefully you'll be a guest again pretty soon again.
Okay, God bless. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, I guess I did say his name right, Jeff DeGas. Well, anyway, the show is always a lot of fun. Time goes by so fast when I have a guest on the show. I don't even know how I am up right now. I just don't know how I'm up. I'm just going to take a little break because I need to get some water. Let's see. What song shall I play? I think since it's fighting people, you know, like ninjas and stuff, I think I am going to play the fighter. Where is it? Hold on. So I am going to play. Give me one moment here, and I shall be back.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. God, it's known that you made your choice.
cast your circle, follow the wind. Clap three times, move your feet and let your dance begin. El animal que vive dentro de ti, help you be yourself, clear your mind and set you free. Don't you hesitate, the energy won't wait. Speak the words to the one you emulate. You gotta do more than read, books can't help you see. It's not that hard, just repeat after me. Desde allá hasta aquí, anima, aparezca. Take your sweet time and make your decision. For this path is not one easily denied. Wait for the wind to give you permission. Before you move, though your body will want to change position. That is then, agarre el juego de transformaría. Drink three times. Now enhance your vision. Done your roles, wearing green and purple. Taking your dance, moving in a clockwise circle. Now when the moon is full, let only dear one see. What would happen now? It only be viewed by kindred hearts. Desde allá hasta aquí, animal, aparezca.
And that was by Policies Projects. Their song was Totemic. I hope I said that right. That my guest was Jeff DiBiase and fellow Ninja Man, which is really cool. And I had a nice little surprise, and yet I'm going to be another ninja. This is really great news. I'm just like, I am so overtired. It's not even funny, ladies and gentlemen. But I always have very interesting guests, and I'm looking forward to having more and more guests on the show. I never thought I'd be doing this show this long, but, you know, getting the guests, I guess I must be doing something right here. I always have fun, and now I'm getting a reputation where, you know, you write on the internet, And I can't seem to write as well as what I want to, you know, talk about. It seems I can get more of a message across when I'm actually talking live on the air, when I'm actually writing on the internet. And now everybody's getting spread in this room that I'm very nice. I'm like, no, I'm crazy. I'm not some crazy. And everybody's like, you know, Shelly Nunchucks, you're actually very nice. I'm like, well, what can I say? Well, I guess that's, you know, what Jeff said earlier is, like, just don't let people take advantage of you. And, well, it looks like there is a call in there, and I need a little sip of water here. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do I talk and talk and talk. Okay, there's actually, I think, a caller in the queue. Give me one moment. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Shelly, this is Cal Nguyen. How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good, and you?
Good, good. So I decided to call in, and I was just curious. So you don't have a toll-free number, right?
Well, there's a number that I have to use. I guess there's this number here. As long as you use it on your cell phone, there shouldn't be any charge or anything. There's another number that's actually for out of country. So it's something where, yeah, you know, I guess it's on your cell phone. From what I heard, that's something that you're not supposed to be charged for.
Right. Okay. But this is it's at New York when I called here. So.
New York, I guess it is. But, you know, thank you for calling in. So
yeah,
I just
want to
thank you very much.
Sure, sure. Are you free?
My guest Jeff DiBiase, he did over an hour, and it's you know, I try to get as you know, as long as people want to talk. Sometimes they say I can just talk for a half hour, I can go on for an hour and a half,
right.
2 hours, it depends. So sometimes people just have so much fun they just stay on the air. So what's
okay.
up? Anything new? I mean
Yeah. I mean there's been plenty of new things. To let your audience know, I some of them I'm sure know our actor Ken Applegate called in as a guest right last week, and so it's kind of appropriate timing that I figured I'd call in to give an update to what's going on with our show Day Zero.
So tell me, spill the beans here.
Excuse me.
Tell me, spill the beans. Let me know what's going on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear you. So basically, and you know about this, but your audience might not. Day Zero was formed as a web series, but it has now become a TV series. So we will be airing on DirecTV and Dish this fall and or winter, we'll be also in other areas like iTunes, Netflix eventually, and the hope is to get onto Hulu and even cable providers. So it's a great deal, distribution deal that I was able to obtain from these guys out in California, and who used to have a studio on the Paramount lot as well. So this is a totally independent network, brand new, the first of its kind, from what I understand. To be airing, you know, on TV, on national TV, and so they have a broadcast license to with us to air the show, and we get to keep creative control, being that it's very independent, you know, it's a first time kind of thing, so it's really exciting because we're part of this new launch. So I'm really stoked, and I hope everybody else will be as well.
Yeah, I'm just excited. I cannot wait, and I know that you were rendering the episodes and stuff, and I know I've seen them probably a couple of times,
right.
And I'm just excited to see them again. You know,
yeah.
I just hope you know, I just can't wait. When will you be able to? I'm sorry?
You want to see it on the tube, you'll have to actually get a tube. Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? I have a computer. I know everybody's telling me I need to get a TV. I need to get, you know,
you need a lot of things. Right now, you need DirecTV or Dish, and to get on that, you know. I'm going to be removing the episodes from the web at some point.
Oh.
You know, yeah, because of that. And it'll be airing these remastered versions of the episodes, and so there's some quite a bit of a number of improvements made because when we put it on blip.tv/DayZeroTV, it was just kind of like not rough per se, but
mm-hmm.
it was something between it was pretty final, but it was also kind of rough draft, you know. So it was kind of like this. Oh, I released it, you know, because I was releasing every month last year, you know. So it was under the gun, basically. So I remastered them, and so we have the master copies that I mailed out today to my distributors, and so they'll be getting it this week and sending it up to their partners, who will then get it aired on once the channels are established. Right now, all I can tell you right now is that channel 288 on DirecTV is one of the channels that they're kind of aiming for, but it
mm-hmm.
might be on another channel as well. That's unusual, but there's, you know, in all likely circumstances that it could be just on one channel, you know, per platform. So you know, we'll see. I you know, it's kind of like they can kind of do whatever they want because they have that kind of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, if you look at like even the Audience Network channel on DirecTV, that is showing like, you know, 24 and stuff like that, and they're showing it any way they want because it's like, you know, it's syndication is all it is, and so what they're doing and is showing that show is reruns like three episodes in a row. And so, you know, without commercial interruption or whatever like that, you know, so they're getting their deal some other way. You know, we will still be on the traditional route with, you know, advertising, but, and it's also going to be aired live as well as on demand. So we'll be, you know, you'll have the on demand of the episode that airs that week after it airs live first, which is cool. So in case you miss it, you know, but, you know, this time you can DVR it. You can DVR our show. And, you know, most people do like to watch things live, you know, of course, but if you just don't have the time, then that's how you do it, you know. But I kind of urge people to watch our show online at blip.tv, you know, before it does hit the airwaves. So, you know, if you want to kind of get on started, you know. But they will air every episode. So we have 11 right now, 10 from season 1. We started season 2, so we got the opener of that that was broadcast on blip.tv in July. And we've kind of halted production for now because I was simply using the season 2 premiere for, it's called Red Wind, for
mm-hmm.
kind of like a purpose of like a vehicle so that we can drive, you know, attention and attract investors, you know, things like
I think
that.
That's actually the best one from what I'm seeing. And didn't you just get an award at a film festival? You just won an award, right?
Yeah, we did. I just came back last month, you know, from the Indie Gathering Film Festival in Hudson, Ohio, and picked up first place for the web episode category competition. So that was the first that we've done, and it's a back to back award because the year before we won third place. So it's very validating to me that we've made it, you know, we made it that far, and I want to return. I want to, like, maybe submit the Requiem, you know, to the next year's, you know. You never know. So, and I am fully confident that we'll take first place again. You know, and it's just
congratulations
a matter
of
that. Yeah, we've improved since, you know, season 1, so it's just, yeah, thank you.
take a bow. Congratulations. Yes, really awesome. And I swear, I just want to put you on the spot. I just like, because I like doing crazy characters and stuff, I swear I want to be a hybrid on your show. Just chase all you guys around. I know they're not zombies. I know the difference. I know that they're, you know, something. I know there's a big, huge difference. They're hybrids and not zombies. I want to be a hybrid. I want to chase all you guys around. And you guys can, like, kill me off. You can blow me up or whatever, you know. You can shoot me in the head. Just like, guys.
If you were ever in town and we were filming, I'm sure I could hook you up on that.
Yeah, you get me all bloodied. Yeah, I'm all up for it. Just ask anybody that I work on a set. Yeah, Shelly's all up for anything.
Yeah.
You can hit me with a car. I mean, just go for it.
I don't know if we'd go that far, but
saying, you know, whatever. Yeah.
In the world day zero, you know, post apocalypse, there's nothing that works, you know. There's no modern technology that works, you know. But they found some generator type of stuff that, you know, that they could use. I don't think the audience cares about like how, you know, about watching our characters brush their teeth or some mundane thing like that, you know. I just, you know, nobody, and this is for a purpose, a reason, you know. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Those things, you have to suspend your disbelief just a little, you know, from anything that you watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but. I'm really proud of my cast and crew, and what we've done in as of late. It's just we're growing. You know, I've increased staff. You know, on set, and things are just things are looking up. You know, for us. So we're just biding our time right now. You know, so.
Until it's there, and I can't wait. Yeah, you gotta let me know so I can announce it on the air when your show's, gonna hear it ways. Just let me know any promotion. I could just give you a shout out. Let me know ahead of time.
Great.
I can't wait. I'm excited. I can't wait, but I guess I do have to get a TV now just for day zero. That's it. You're gonna make me buy a TV.
Yeah. It might happen in October, from what I've been told, the airing. And so we'll see. You know, if it doesn't, then that's why I say fall, winter, because if it doesn't, then it might be late November, December, or something like that. You know, but I'm fairly confident that it might be like mid to late October or something like that. So we'll see.
That is awesome. Congratulations. All the hard work there. Congratulations, Cal. You're very talented.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. It's such an honor, you know, to be able to be able to show our story, you know, to a nationwide audience. And this is, we're talking like, reaching over 100 million customers. And, that's the potential. So I really encourage everybody who's listening in, everybody, just watch it, you know. Please watch and support our show, you know, because I am looking for investors. We're independent, you know, low to low budget, and we sure can use, as much help as we get. So, and by the fact that we have the TV deal, all we're asking for is viewership, you know, and maybe some participation. I don't know how
where
doing,
can you
know?
Go, like now, where can you go? Let people know where you can go to find out about it on Facebook or something or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have Twitter. We have Facebook. We have, our official website, which is dayzerotv.com. But if you go to Facebook and Twitter, you just, you know, pop that in, /dayzerotv, and you'll find us. But, we do stream directly right now online at blip.tv, B-L-I-P, blip.tv /dayzerotv. So go there, check out the show, you know, and feel free to leave feedback and you know, hopefully, hopefully we'll see you on air.
Yeah, and you have a Facebook page, and isn't there a website too?
Yeah, it was dayzerotv.com.
Okay, because I was like, I know that you, you know, you had a few different places there, so it's really cool. And you have a website too. I mean, don't you have your own, you know, website that people can go and find out about you?
About me or about the show? I just gave you the show.
Well, I mean, also, you know, if they wanted to find your background and your acting and stuff, do you have an IMDb page?
Definitely. If you go to IMDb or IMDb and look for Tal Nguyen. That's Nguyen, and that's me. You'll see Day Zero. You'll see a few of our awards. We actually won 10 awards. In the last 17
Wow,
months.
Really?
Yeah.
What was,
yeah,
do you remember,
so,
can you name off the awards? I mean,
yeah,
you know them by heart?
Basically, the first award won in 2011, December through January 2012, which was the California Film Awards. We won in the television productions competition there, a Diamond Award. And then we won the Las Vegas 2012 Las Vegas Film Fest TV Pilots category competition award, which is great. And then after that, I entered the Film in Utah Awards, which is not a film fest, but it's kind of like the Oscars or Emmys for Utah. And so we were nominated. We got 5 nominations in different categories. And then we went on to win the Indie Gathering Film Fest Award from 2012, again in the web episode category. Just like this year, we won the same category, but first place. And then we won a Telly Award, which is not a film fest either. It's the Telly Awards basically honors, you know, anything that TV or video online content, you know. And they've been around for a long time, so it's kind of like winning an Emmy. So, but I hope, you know, there's a way to win an Emmy with a fictional scripted drama. I don't know, you know, that's online. Because if you heard about the news, there was a web series on Netflix, an original series that did win an Emmy. So it's very possible. You know? However, that was run by the studios. However, the fact that we're going to be on national TV, we now have that ability to actually win a true Emmy. So we'll see. I mean, it really depends on you know, if we are submitted somehow. I think you have to submit yourself or something. I'm not sure about all the details on that.
Yeah, do you have something, if people are interested in any merchandise, any T-shirts or anything that anybody can purchase?
If you go to dayzerotv.com under the e-store, you can definitely purchase a couple of our T-shirts there, as well as the original pilot version of the pilot on DVD, as well as a stream. You can just stream it on Amazon as well. It's for real cheap. I think it's like $2 or something for a stream. But if you want the DVD, you know, you can go get that as well. And it includes extras like bloopers and trailers and things like that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the very first original version of the pilot, because we do have a remastered version. In fact, the remastered one is out there on blip.tv right now. Again, the ones that are going to DirecTV Dish are also modified, altered a little bit, so they're remastered, I guess you call it. It's basically so that we can get the best visual and audio quality, you know, that I could, you know, get out of what we had. So it makes a little bit more sense. There's a couple of new camera angles, you know. There's a couple of different things, you know, switched around. So it actually has a little bit better, you know, flow to it, you know, and there's even maybe a couple of different sound effects and things like that. So, yeah, Yeah, you'll definitely get a kick out of it. I think you'll like it. You'll like the improvements, and it'll be a slightly different experience for you. You know, maybe a little refreshing. So that's the hope. For
yeah,
those of you
definitely.
Who have seen it already, so yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great series, and you know, do you see the future going? Maybe you guys will have action figures, or you know, bed sheets, or
if we can sustain that kind of popularity with the show, I definitely see it going down a certain path. And I'm not sure about toys or anything, but I can certainly see that like things like maybe comic books and things like that, or you know, some maybe a movie, you know, something down the road, you know, would be nice. It would be nice to see where we go with this. And I do have season two, most of the concept for season two planned already, and so it's just a matter of like availability of actors and scheduling and funds, and so. Maybe it's the funds thing that's kind of halting us from production, resuming production at the moment. But we'll see. You know, maybe we'll be able to recoup some losses. You know.
You don't know which way it'll go. I mean, I just hope. I hope we get to see more of your acting ability. That would be kind of cool. I mean, personally, I think you're a really great actor. So I know that you were running, you know, doing most everything this season one yourself. So now it looks like you're getting more help now. So I'm hoping to see more of your acting ability.
I hope too. I hope so too. I hope I can have that that level of focus to be able to, you know, to have more performance time, things like that, and stay above the fray, you know, into the, what do you call it, the above the line type of role, in position. So that way I can concentrate and not have to be running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, you know, I mean, a lot of like people in their production, sometimes they really do that. They direct and then they act. And it's like, that's what indie filmmakers do. They have to wear many hats and uniform. Yeah, and I think that's like season one. I think I lost track of how many hats you were wearing. It was like Cal Newen. It's just like list. I'm going, oh my gosh! When you see the credits and stuff,
everywhere.
I'm going, what?
Yep.
It was like, how is there like? Do you have a twin or something? I mean, it's like, how did you do all those things? You got it done. You got it done to the wire. That's really. Awesome, the hard work and dedication, you know, anything is possible in this world, and that's what people tell me, as long as you do the work, anything is possible, and I believe that, you know, deep down inside, I know that Day Zero is a really great web series, and I can see it, you know, just from how you're taking it from the beginning, and you kind of like, it's like you're a baby and it's growing, it's kind of like in teenagehood, kind of, like right now, so your series is growing, and from the very latest episode, it's called Requiem. Isn't that correct?
Requiem. Yep.
Yeah. That one, that's the best. That's the best one, and it's like I know people should be watching it from the beginning, but I was like, whoa, because it has a little bit more action. Of course, I'm an action girl, so. When I see a little bit of action, I am so pumped.
Love.
Yes, I was pumped.
Yeah. I purposely, because I'm the sole writer at the moment right now, this season, there's no other writer, you know. Kelsey Swenson and I, you know, she wrote the main stuff, and then I you know, modified it and added my own stuff in there. So, but now it's like this is solo, you know, with me as head writer or solo writer, you know, at the moment. And so the first time it's Requiem is completely written by me, you know. And so I'm glad that you like it, and that you know that is really, means a lot. It really means a lot to hear that, and I think a lot of people who have said the same sentiments, it's humbling to experience it. I really am proud about how it turned out, and everybody, did really, really good in making this, episode, and I think that it helped to free me up because of the additional crew. I worked with Denver James Harward. I hired him as my director for this episode, and hopefully down the road as well. And he and I get along very well. We mesh basically. We have a very similar vision, and mm-hmm. And style basically. And so I really appreciated his notes. So when I went to editing, it was like, wow, that's great. I agree with this. Almost everything he said, I totally followed in changing in editing. So it was a great collaborative, effort that we put into that. And it's so, season two, started with a blast, it started with
mm-hmm.
just a big bang. So I think people who have not seen it, I really urge you to see it. And it's something that I think that could, definitely well, compete well in Sundance even, but Sundance doesn't accept TV series and things like that. So, it's kind of, I don't know how to, go about that, so we might skip them because of that, but there's plenty of other film festivals out there, not many take TV series or web series. They take shorts or features. It's just that's how it is. I always felt, and a number of people that I know have come up to me recently and said they want to be a part of my project. They said, what you're doing, and these guys, they've done features and shorts, so they know. So they, and one of them was telling me, hey, you're right. What you've done is the end thing, is the correct thing to do. And not just web series, not just like, because a lot of web series are the short form. I didn't intend, from the beginning, I didn't intend to make this a web series. I call it a web TV series, because I knew eventually one day we were going to be in television, and we will, shortly here. So that's the thing. Now you got to call it a TV series, no need to call it a web series anymore, I guess. Because like that was really my intention and my vision from the beginning, is to film it, not for commercials or anything like that, not in that standard mm-hmm. format, right? Because you can definitely cut, in between, because I have gaps, that look like it could be commercials in that begin. But, it formed it in the long format, So those who, try to make their web series under 10 minutes, it's not my advice at all, My advice, make it 22 minutes or whatever. Because that's how you're going to get these kinds of deals. That's how we were approached, They really enjoyed the story. They liked the fact that we're TV ready. That's what, in their word. We're TV ready. Because it fits a half-hour slot, with commercials.
Mm-hmm.
If you did longer, you do long, 45-minute thing or whatever to fit the one-hour slot. You'll never be able to get that kind of deal by doing something under 10 minutes per so-called episode, webisode or whatever. And yes, I understand that, the guild, and things like that, they kind of started that whole thing, and they're on Hulu, they got this big deal, Microsoft, all that. And I kind of, I was kind of inspired by Felicity's story, her story, not the guild, but her. And I kind of started to follow those footsteps. And but I realized that, her episodes are only 4 minutes each. So it doesn't lend to story arc. It doesn't lend to character development. it just doesn't, you know. So you have to give it time. You have to give your characters like more time. So that's why the you know, the 20 plus minute episodes, you know, so that you're actually watching something. Like, for example, yourself. You are, when you cut the cord, cut the cable, whatever, all that, you went to Netflix, you went to, you know, Amazon, wherever it was, you know, Hulu and stuff. So, why? Well, what are you actually doing? Well, guess what? You actually are watching the very same shows that you watch on TV, that you used to watch on TV anyway, which are half an hour and 1 hour, you know, with commercials, right? So you didn't get away from TV. You just got away from the platform, but you didn't get away from the type of content. And so that's why I think our show is actually the very first web series, I think, that went with the long format, the half an hour type of show, you know. And other people have started following suit, and I feel flattered by that, actually. They're not you know, crediting us for getting that started, but most can't sustain it. So I've heard shows that because they couldn't sustain it, they reduced their time back down to like under 10 minutes. And I'm like, what? I didn't understand that, you know. I felt that's a bad move. But hey, you know, if they're only going to be on the web, that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
Well, you've got to do what works for you, and it seems like what's working for you, Cal,
yeah,
it's working. You should definitely stay with that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And because we are going on to national television, we will stay like that, you know, and that's kind of a requirement anyway. So anybody who's ever thinking of, you know, any filmmaker who's ever thinking of having a TV show, you know, think hard, you know, make your thing, fit the half hour or 1 hour slot, because otherwise the distributors are not going to come knocking on your door. So that's my little advice.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that with us, and my time's almost up here. So I just wanted to say thank you very much, you know, here calling in, and I'm going to have you as a guest again on the show. And thank you for calling in, and I wish you so much, you know, success in your show
Zero. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's an honor, and thank you so much for having me. Letting me call in and give me you guys an update. Look forward to seeing you on the tube.
Yeah, definitely. Same here. And keep in touch and let me know. So, you know, let us know and call in, and we can make the announcement live on the air.
That'd be great. Will do. Thank you so much again. Appreciate it, Shelley.
All righty. Well, you have a good night. Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. All right. No problem.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Cal Nguyen and calling in from Utah, and he's had much success with Day Zero, and he's really one of the hottest working men in the business. You know, he wore many, many hats, you know, in the first season, and, you know, it does pay off, like what people have told me, that hard work does pay off and anything is possible. Well, I'm one tired little kitty cat here, and I think I've got to go to bed, but you know, I feel very blessed to be able to sit to do this show, and I'm going to have many, many guests on future shows. So just remember, if you have a dream, you're as good as anybody else. So just reach for the stars. You never know where you might land. Anyway, this is Shelley Nunchucks. It was always a pleasure to be doing my show. I feel very honored. Anyway, everybody have a good night, and I always leave on a very positive note. All right, bye-bye.